Well, good morning, everyone, and a good Friday to you. We are going to be looking at a verse which should come up on the screen, just a single verse, actually the first half of a verse, 1 Peter 3:18, and it says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." We're just going to focus on that first half of that verse. Let's pray that God would continue to speak to us through his word. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for Good Friday. We thank you for his sacrifice for our sins. Please, Lord, help us to receive that. Help us to value it. In Jesus' name, amen. I think one of the worst inventions of recent years is the invention of the infinite scroll. You know, on social media. Do you remember the days, back in the olden days, when you could read a web page and you could get to the bottom of that web page and you could go, "I'm finished," and you close it and you go into what you were doing beforehand? It was great. But now the invention of infinite scroll, you just get stuck in this vortex, post after post, video after video of social media. It's terrible. You never scroll far enough through Facebook or YouTube that you go, "Okay, I've finished Facebook now." Infinite scroll, it was invented by an American named Asa Raskin, and he estimates that every day, over 200,000 human lives worth of time are wasted due to his invention. He's publicly apologized for it, and he regrets it deeply, but there's no getting that cat back in that bag. And so now we're bombarded with so much information at such a rate that it's impossible to figure out what's important and what's not. And that's why I think it's a grace from God that he hasn't given us this information overload. It's a grace from God. He hasn't given us infinite scroll. He's given us his word. And it's a grace from God that he's actually given us a weekend to zoom in on, to focus on. A weekend that changed the world. And he's marked that weekend with a cross, as if to say, "Look there." That's where we need to focus. And that's what we're going to do these few moments this morning. And again, I want us to focus on that verse that you see on the screen. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." It starts by saying Christ also suffered. And we understand that. We've just had those excellent readings from our Bible readers. We read how Jesus was beaten by the guards and then they put the crown of thorns on his head, and they crucified him. He suffered so horribly that we get the word excruciating from the word crucify. You know, nails driven through the nerves of your wrists and your feet. But it wasn't the bleeding that killed you. You'd actually suffocate to death because as you were in that sunken position, your lungs wouldn't be able to breathe and you'd have to push yourself up with your feet, but with all the pain, the nails through the feet, and just getting tired after time, you couldn't pull yourself up anymore. And so you'd stop breathing, and eventually you die. It's one of the most painful ways to die. Now you see it in the verse on the screen. It says, "Christ also suffered." And it wasn't just physical suffering. It was humiliating. You may have noticed in the reading that they divided the garments amongst themselves, the soldiers. We think of Jesus crucified in some kind of underwear because that's what we see on the stained glass windows. But that's only on the stained glass windows because we're modest. The Romans didn't care for modesty. They cared for pain. They cared for humiliation. And so Jesus was crucified naked. And we saw the people heaping insults on him as he hung there helpless. Jordan Peterson, whether you like him or hate him, he calls this a limit story. He says, listen to this, this is what he says. He says, "You cannot write a more tragic story. It's impossible because it's a story of the aggregation of everything that people are afraid of. There was no death more painful than crucifixion," he says. "Plus your friend betrayed you into it. Plus your people turned against you. Plus they're led by a tyrant who doubts truth. Plus you're a victim of the Roman Empire. Plus you're completely innocent. Plus everybody knows it. Plus, they chose a criminal to be released when everyone knows he's guilty and you're innocent and you're young and you've done no wrong and all you've done is help people. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ also suffered. He experienced the most extreme form of human suffering. But here's the thing. Everyone suffers. It might not be the most extreme form of suffering, but everyone still suffers. The depressing philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, he said, to live is to suffer. And many people have even suffered by crucifixion. You might have heard that story of Spartacus, who led that slave's rebellion 70 years before Christ, and how after they put the rebellion down, they crucified 6,000 slaves along a road, about as long as the road from here to Newcastle. A slave every 30 meters for 175 kilometers. Many people have died by crucifixion. So why is Jesus' crucifixion any different? How and why has this weekend changed the world? Well, let's keep looking at 1 Peter 3:18 on the screen. It says, Christ also suffered once for sins. And you might think that's not anything strange. People suffer for their sins all the time. You know, if you steal a car and you get caught, well, you're probably going to go to jail. You do the crime, you pay the time. It's natural for people to suffer for their sins. But what makes Jesus' suffering unique is actually those next five words. The righteous for the unrighteous. This is why Jesus' suffering changed the world. See, Jesus, he is the righteous one. He's the only human being who's ever lived who didn't actually deserve to suffer. There's a radio host in the United States, and people call into his radio show all the time, and they say, you know, how are you? And he always answers the same way. It's brilliant. He says, I'm better than I deserve. I'm better than I deserve. It's a great answer. He's actually a Christian man. And so deep down, he knows that actually he deserves God's judgment. He deserves hell. And so he knows that every day he lives, things are better than he deserves. A couple of years ago, I thought this was so brilliant. I started using it when people asked me how I was. I think it's better used on radio. People got pretty tired of me saying it, so I don't recommend it. But I think it's still true. It doesn't matter what we're going through. We are still in this world before judgment, receiving better than we deserve. And in fact, there's only one person who could say he's actually living a life worse than he deserves. And that's Jesus. See, Jesus, he deserves heavenly glory. Every day he lived on this earth, he was receiving worse than he deserved. If we look at 1 Peter 3:18 again, Jesus is the righteous one. But it says there, Jesus the righteous died for the unrighteous. I've got an illustration for this, and that's why I've got the whiteboard here. It's an old illustration, so you might have to forgive me if you've seen it before. But if you can imagine, you're standing in the Blue Mountains, you know those deep ravines with the sheer cliffs? You're standing in the Blue Mountains at the top of one of those cliffs, and that's you. And then over the other side here is God. And kind of like what Paul showed us before with the long jump, we can't get to God. Because there's a problem, and the problem is our sin. And we've all got this problem. And if it's me, there's a whole bunch more sin in here. And I actually heard a really good illustration for sin this week. It was saying, you know those immersive galleries that you can go into where it's got like art projected onto the walls, art projected on the ceiling even, and on the floors? It's like if you can imagine that God's created one of those galleries of your life. And he's invited everyone in this church to come and see. And you can imagine walking around that gallery, and there'll be stuff there you'd love showing people. You know, here's the time I scored the goal in the under 10 Cs. You know, here's when I scored an A on my maths test. This is when I visited that person in the hospital. There'll be great, great scenes of your life there. But there will be other rooms, and there are other rooms in my life where I would be mortified for any of you to see them. And you'd want to block entry. You'd want to put up a black screen over the walls so no one could see. That's our sin. That's what we are ashamed of before each other even, let alone before the holy God of the universe who is pure goodness, unlike any of us. But the wonderful thing that this verse says, it says, Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. What Jesus did was he suffered to take away our sin. Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. And it's his work on the cross, which makes like a bridge to life, a bridge to life with God. That's what Jesus did. Because you look at that verse, it says, Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God. That's what Jesus did. We can have the slate wiped clean, forgiven. You know, we think of God's judgment. It's horrible to think about. It's hard to talk about. It's terrible. The cross teaches us it's also avoidable. Jesus came into this world to die for sinners so that we could be forgiven. And some people will say, well, I don't think my sin matters that much. Then why did Jesus have to go to the cross for it? Jesus' cross shows that, yes, our sin is very important. It cuts off our relationship with God. Jesus' cross shows that his love for us is very great and his mercy is amazing. Why did Jesus suffer? He suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. And that's why Good Friday is so good, because it's here on this weekend, the weekend that God marked with a cross. It's here we see the way back to God, and it's through Jesus. And so if you're here this morning and you thought, you know, church is just another kind of post on the infinite scroll of life, equally important or unimportant to the rest, please take this time on Good Friday to stop. Take stock. Look to Jesus. He came to forgive sinners like us. Put your trust in him. Cross the bridge to life. Receive life with God. That's what Good Friday is for. But many people here would have come into church today who understand this already, who understand this wonderful news of Good Friday. And I suppose I want to help you focus on another word here in 1 Peter 3:18, and that is the word once. Do you see it there? Christ also suffered once for sins. I want you to notice that Jesus didn't have to suffer again and again and again. He suffered once. I think some people, some Christian people, can have a very tender conscience, and they can think, you know, there was a time I put my trust in Jesus. It might have been many years ago, but I know I've sinned since then. And you start to worry, you know, is Jesus up in heaven fretting because he's thinking, oh no, I've got to come and die for that person, your sins again? No, this is clear here. It says no, he died once for sins. It's finished. Jesus' work is complete. Your sin is paid for. The late theologian R.C. Sproul, he told of a time where a young woman came into his office, and she was talking about a sin she had committed that she just felt terrible regret for. She said she'd prayed to God over and over again for forgiveness, but she feels like she couldn't be forgiven. She's too ashamed, too stained. She can't be forgiven. And she was saying, what do I do? And Sproul said to her, I want you to go back to your room, close the door, get on your knees, and pray to God for forgiveness. And she said, I've tried that. It doesn't work. He said, I don't want you to pray for forgiveness for what you've done. I want you to pray for forgiveness for not believing God's word. Because he says, when you trust in Jesus, you're forgiven. Now, I'm not recommending you do that. There's more pastorally sensitive ways to talk to someone than that. But there's a truth there, isn't there? Christ suffered once for sins. It's once. It's finished. It's one weekend. Jesus has taken care of it and he has changed the world. Jesus doesn't need to come and do it again for you. And you know what? You don't need to suffer for your sins either. Jesus has paid for them. That's the huge assurance of Good Friday for anyone who would come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a Savior. What a Savior. That he would humble himself, suffer and die for sinners like us. And so, Father, we pray that this Good Friday, every single one of us here in this building would value Jesus, would see how wonderful he is, would trust Jesus for forgiveness and for assurance of the forgiveness of sins. And we pray this in his great name. Amen.